There's people here that might have experienced what I experienced before I met him. And so hopefully when you hear the word of God, you're going to hear how it's shaped and changed my life. From one being a drug addict, trying to find some kind of hope in this world in my own means. Trying to find what meaning this life actually has to us. And doing all the wrong things and finding out there was nothing at the end of that. I remember waking up. One of my things that God reminded me this morning was I remember waking up after doing stupid things the whole night. And those things, they are temporarily a relief for what we're going through when we're going through hard times. But I remember waking up after every one of those episodes and going, I am so depressed. I'm so lonely. And I'm feeling like there's people like that this morning here. That you're stuck in that place. And I only found the answer to that was when I met Jesus. It was weird. It was like, you know, when you search, and suddenly you find the thing that you've lost in your house. And you're so excited about it because you've been looking and you know you would. It was like that moment when Jesus came into my heart. And it broke something in me. And I've never, ever been the same from that day. I fell in love with him. I knew he was the person that saved my life. I knew he was the one that could forgive sins. I knew, like, all the stuff. I stopped, like, let me tell you, on the day I got saved, and I was terrible before that, I never swore again. Crazy, eh? And then I realized how real God was, because I had such a foul mouth on myself when I was in the world. Okay, so that's a sideline, so that's for you specifically. But what I actually wanted to preach about today is this, and it's going to line up with you. So what I want to get at the end of this is, if you're here for the first time and you've never met Jesus, today's your day. You're going to meet with the living King. I know he's already in your heart. I can feel sometimes what Jesus or people feel for God, and there's something going on in your chest right now. And it's going, ah. And then some of you have been like floating around church for a bit long. You need to make a commitment today to do this completely right. And that's not for us. It's for you and Jesus. It's got nothing to do with us. Where you go after that doesn't really matter as long as you find the King. Okay. So let's start my preaching. I'm going to have to do it fast now because I'm really stealing time. But anyway, we're living in a world that is so advanced in technology at the moment. It's never been like this before. We have so much tech. Tech is at our hands. It's there everywhere we go. And yet we are depressed, lonely, trying to find what this life means. We're so connected digitally and so disconnected personally. It's so much easier for me to do this than this. I'm Dylan. We've lost contact. This could be something that you could find the Bible in, or you can find destruction in. The devil is using this right now to distract you from us, from what God actually wants to do in your life. People tell us that you're the most important thing. That's rubbish. You don't need anyone. You can do this on your own. But from the beginning, God said, in Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, it is not good for a man to be alone. We need each other, man. We are people that think we can do things, think we can pull back, think we can shrink into what our world was, and I thought I was that. I could do all this. I could go out every night and find a different person to go home with. And I could go and I think I could find hope in that. It never happened. No matter how many times I tried to find it the best party, the best thing, the best, take as much drugs. All you do is forget for a moment and then it's back the next day. Your problems are still there. They haven't gone away. And today God wants to take that away. So I've got 6 points, which I'm going to probably rush through because I feel like God wants to do something in and through us at the end of this. And the first one is for those who haven't met Jesus, and they're going to meet Jesus this morning. I know, because I can feel it. Like your hope has arrived. The Savior of the world is here this morning to set you free from whatever you're going through. and you've tried everything else, you haven't found Jesus yet. This morning you're going to find him. I'm going to drink a lot of water because I can see the Holy Spirit here. I don't know, for some reason the Holy Spirit sucks my mouth dry. So point one. Okay, sorry, maybe I should tell you what this preacher's called. That would be a good start, okay. Why are you here? Why are you here? Have you asked yourself that question recently? I've been doing that a lot recently. What is my purpose? Why am I supposed to be living and breathing every day of my life here? Am I just here to work a job, get paid, go home, eat, make sure I'm happy with my wife and my daughter, and go to sleep and rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat? That's dead, man. So, point one, we are here to take people from distraction to fellowship. We are such a distracted generation, eh? Yeah, we spend so much time on things that add nothing to our lives. It's so weird because we sit and we spend time watching series and movies, and it's not even like a leadership movie that helps you become a better leader, or a self-help program. And we've swayed away from books that help us grow our lives better, and we sway away from this book, which is God's living word, living and breathing, able to cut like a double-edged sword, sets truth into action. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." It's pretty hard to be still when you're like, and I hear it, and I do it, and I've done it. Put that thing down. Switch it off. Find Jesus. The world keeps telling us the economy is unstable. God says, I'm your provider. People tell us, and everything we watch at the moment, everything I'm seeing at the moment is, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know why that's happening to me, but maybe it's happening to everyone. It's about people hurting other people, like intentionally. Like it's fighting, and there's stuff going on. And if you look at America, like everybody's tied up into like destroying people's lives or trying to destroy character or whatever it is. And that makes us afraid. But God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Point two. See, I told you I'm going to rush through. But as you're feeling this, if something stands out for you, I want you to do this. Write it down in a book. But if I'm saying something to you, that's God speaking to you. If it suddenly goes, oh, because it's one thing hearing this word, but if you hear it and don't put it into action, it's going to be dead for you. But if you put it into action, it's going to change your life. Two, we are here to bring the lonely into family. Is this okay? You guys good? We have loads of followers. I'm hearing it at the moment because somebody in my family just got Instagram. I have 503 followers. And I'm like, yo, that's a lot for, like, but I have no friends. I'm not saying that for my person in my family, but the truth is we have very few friends. You know, we have very few friends, real friends. Because we go on likes and shares and followers. But we're lonely. How weird is that? And we'll dress up, go down to the beach, take a pitch selfie of the sunset and leave. Because we weren't there for the moment, we're there for the picture. Because we wanted people to believe our lives are better than they are. We do that all the time. We portray this life that isn't real, but... So is there a noise coming? I feel like I'm... Hopefully that's just the Holy Spirit.
We can carry the pressures, but we don't talk about them. We battle silently on our own. And teenagers are desperate to belong. It's becoming wilder and wilder. We see social media and we want to be that. And if the picture doesn't look right, it instills fear in our hearts. If we can't portray what the world needs us to look like, we are afraid to do the things that God has put in our hearts. So just step outside to be seen. To have a person of value that God's made you. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, but let's encourage one another. And that's such a beautiful scripture because it's like, we say come to church, but it's not come to church for my sake, it's for your sake. Because we want to connect. We want to make that connection. And the world's trying to break that connection apart the whole time. Stay at home, watch series, look at all these adverts, buy all this stuff. But actually, God just wants connection. And you need connection. I need connection. And we're not even honest about how much connection we actually want. But we need it. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to fellowship. The reason I put that one in there, because we hear the scripture all the time, and we think, oh, got to devote ourselves to tick, devote ourselves to fellowship. Do you know that everything that's written in this Bible is to bring you freedom? Not to put condemnation on you or put another task on your life or put anything else on you. It's to bring freedom to your life. This thing will bring freedom to you. You don't know it until you live it. If you don't put these things into action, you'll never actually walk into the things that God's called you to. It's not saying, I know everything the Bible says. So does the devil. He just doesn't obey them. We obey. That's the one thing God's asked us to do. So hear it and obey. That's the difference. We are not about buildings. We're about belonging. We need to belong to something. If you don't belong to God, you belong to something else. That's not God. Three. Am I doing good? I'm powering through this, I hope. Is everybody okay? The guys at the back, are you still smiling? Nobody's like running for the door. Wonderful. We are here to bring truth over confusion as a people. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this church. That's why you're here. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, you are a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We don't stand in dark corners anymore. We have the light of God that shines upon us, and we can walk boldly into the things of this world because the darkness wants to consume you, but God said, you've given you the light to walk in it. Those things cannot overcome you anymore. Those things have no power over us anymore once we belong to Jesus. Because he is the light, and you carry the light when you give your life to him. Second Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. At the moment, the world's trying to do this, and you'll hear it all over. This was written by a bunch of men. Why should you believe it? Bunch of guys. I've been in this church for 27 years now. Every single thing I've learned out of this book has brought life and life in abundance. I know God is real because every time I read this thing, I know that his truth is real. I know that he's broken me out of complete brokenness into wholeness because of this thing. And I'm not a theologian. By any means. But when I read this thing, it brings life. When I'm depressed, suddenly I find hope. And I find it in this. We need to start opening this thing. It's nice to have it in your house, but it's not a paperweight.
It's the thing that brings life and life in abundance.
So, how are we going to bring truth over confusion? Well, we run our businesses with integrities if we run businesses. We love our spouses when it's hard. When the world says, just leave her. You don't have to put this. Do what makes you happy. We forgive when it hurts. We raise children with values that love Jesus, that learn what is good and bad, what is truth and what is not truth, what is going to bring them life and what is going to bring them life in abundance, not what's going to harm them, and do whatever you want and watch whatever you want and be... Like, we've got to protect that, man. I'm just so concerned about what's on TV at the moment. Like, if you want to sit down, and it shouldn't be, like, I'm not condemning if you watch stuff, okay? Because I do. But the problem is that everything I'm switching on at the moment, you start out and it's like, oh, this looks so good. And then the language starts. And then you're like, oh. And then eventually you've got to go, stop. You've got to switch it. You've got to make the decision, like, stop, I can't watch this. And it's over and over again. Because every single thing is built around breaking down our tolerance. Because if I tolerate it for long enough, it seems like it's normal. So if you're tolerating stuff for too long, it's going to seem like it's normal. Stop it. There's a lot of other things to watch. Good Christian, John was telling me there's a nice Christian network thing that you can watch, Angel Network, and they put out good products and good value Christian stuff that we can watch. But and then watch, be careful what you watch. You might be thinking you're watching somebody that preaches well, but maybe their slant is a little bit off to what God's doing, because we don't know everybody. Everything that's preached here, somebody, if I say something that's out of place, somebody will come and tell me, I will come apologize for that. If I ever speak out of place in God. Not because people want to just rule and reign and over us, but we want to bring truth the way the Bible says. And sometimes we might say something and it comes across wrong. I'm happy to correct that, because it's not about me. It's about him and his kingdom and the way it affects you guys. We want you to hear the truth, and truth in love, truth in peace, truth in patience. Still good. Without truth, we drift. The church keeps us anchored, man. We need to be anchored in the things of God. 4, we are here to bring hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When I was living in the world, my heart was very sick. I could throw alcohol at it, and it was a little bit less sick for that moment while I was acting like a hooligan or being silly. But when I woke up in the morning, sick, still sick. All my problems still there. I didn't deal with them. And then what happens is your problems just escalate from problem to problem to problem, and then you just keep going down this road of destruction, which makes the devil very happy. But God wants to restore you back to wholeness and peace. People are tired, man. Tired of financial pressure. Tired of relation breakups. Tired of trying to keep up, carrying anxiety, pretending everything is fine. Tired of that. If you're carrying that on your own, it's going to kill you. We surrender those things to Jesus, man. We all have financial problems. We all have these things, but my hope is not in my finances. My hope is not in this world. My hope is not in what's going to happen tomorrow. My hope is in Jesus. Every time. And he's never failed. Ever, ever, ever. Maybe I didn't have a lot at times. Maybe I've had sometimes when I've had a lot. But it didn't make any difference, because at the end of the day, he was still the king of my heart. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning, some of you are going to need some rest. And it doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from stuff. It comes from Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. Look, it's nice to tease each other. You know, and we do that. We're very good at that. Sarcasm is probably our the human nature's best, like, jokey thing, but sometimes sarcasm hurts. Sarcasm cuts. Sometimes it'll send somebody over the edge. We, as believers in God, build each other up, man. Encourage one another. You can do this. We've got you. Jesus has got you. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear like, ha, do your shoes actually match your shirt? You know, we're very quick at picking up what's not fun, or like we're quirky like that, and it's fun, but just be careful how far you take your fun over how much somebody needs encouragement. I'm going to tease someone this morning because they spoke about it, but there's a kid wearing an Arsenal shirt this morning, and I was like, and he was teasing me, oh, you guys are going to go, and I'm like, oof. You know, and it's good to tease about sports and stuff because we all have a sports team. But just also, if you're doing that, make sure you encourage them about something else. Don't make it about sport. Don't make it about who your favorite team is. Who cares? Win, lose all the time. And, I mean, we suffer losses all the time when we support certain sports groups. Some of them are like the best in the world, and then the next season they're like trying to stay out of the second division. You know, but that doesn't count. Because we count for each other. Still good? Everybody still here? Good. Let's jump on the next one. 5. We are here to shape each other's character. And God wants to shape your character. The world tells you, do what makes you happy, man. Put yourself first. And if you don't like them, click unfollow. We don't deal with stuff anymore. Somebody hurts you, you go to them and say, listen, that wasn't, I felt cut. We make right with each other. We communicate. We build. Click unfollow. And you think you've done yourself, because that guy said what I didn't like, so click. And you think you've made a statement, but you made nothing. They don't even know. It's like unforgiveness. When you've got unforgiveness in your heart, those people that you hold unforgiveness for, they don't even know. Their life's carrying on. You're just stabbing yourself in the leg and bleeding and thinking they're going to feel it. That's not going to happen. Get over that. Forgive them for your sake. Jesus says, forgive, serve, love, lay down your life. Okay, I'm going to use myself as an example because I don't want to use anybody here, but I don't want to put this on you. But I thought it was so important before. Like everything I did mattered to everybody. Like what my life, if you don't like me, well. It didn't make any difference. I wasn't the king of any kind of colony. I didn't control any people. I didn't need likes. When I grew up, there was no likes, so thank goodness. But I still fall into that trap. Oh, 46 people like my photo. I think they like me. No, they liked your photo. You took a good picture of a sunset. Well done. Move on. You know, but let's get real. We're taking likes for things that really aren't going to make any difference in our lives anyway. But we make it shape us. Okay, let me check. Oh, let's go. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. We need each other to sharpen it, to help us, to speak things through, to not just allow stuff to come on you. Speak to someone if you've got problems. Open up your life. Holding on to the stuff on your own is going to hurt you. Allow people to come alongside you. I want to kill this myth. Trust is not earned. in the Christian place. We have to trust. We have to open up our lives. Even when people take that trust and throw it on the ground, we have to keep trusting people. Don't throw that away. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before others. Don't hide your lamp, your light under a lamp. Cover it. Be bold about who you are in God. We're building two different congregations again here, and it's God's. This is not ours, this is God's. And we've got to shine in that place. We've got to take this thing. If you want to reach Marcos, you're not going to do it in this hall. You can bring people to this hall, but you're not going to do it in this hall. You're going to do it out there. I try to stay away from unsaved people when I first got saved because at that time I just needed to concentrate on how to make myself better in God because I'd been so broken. But I had to stop that because otherwise you stop reaching those people. Your friends, your family, your work colleagues, you are the light to them. The church shapes your character. How does it do that? It's going to turn boys into men again. Not the way the world sees men, like these broken people on TV, that there's always the mother's stronger on every soap opera you ever watch. The mother's so much stronger, the dad's just, could just sit in a couch and like just hands out money and he looks like a complete loser. That's what the world wants you to believe. We're going to rise up again. God wants you to rise up into the men that stand for truth, that stand for the things that are good in this world, not for the things that are. We don't agree with certain things because they are against the word of God and they're sinful and they're going to destroy people's lives. We've got to stand for that. It strengthens marriages. Stop trying to sort your marriages out on your own, man. Come on. I've got this thing when people come to me and they're going like, yeah, but we're going to do it this way and this way. And I'm going to ask you this. How's that working out for you? How's it working out? Is your marriage strong now? Because you seem to have all the answers. Actually, God's got all the answers for us. We need to just submit to that. And it builds leaders. Husbands that can lead their families well. Children that can grow up in the ways of God and become examples in schools because they love Jesus. We need that. Church isn't about comfort. It's about transformation. Your lives are going to be transformed here, man. If you give your, if you trust God today, your life is going to be transformed. I don't know how long I've been going, but I'm going to quickly shoot through this one because I think I've got like a couple minutes. The last point is this. We are here to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Not the hands and feet of your household. Not the hands and feet of your children. Not the hands and feet of this church. Of Jesus. Warren said it earlier. This thing called Joshua is just a tool that God's using. But we don't care too much about Joshua. We only care about Jesus. That's just the name that God's put over this place. That's not an institution. It's not anything. We don't have the word of God according to Joshua. No, we have the word of God according to the Bible. That's our guiding point. If you look around, this world's full of problems, man. We don't just do Sundays. We feed. We pray. We connect. And we meet in our homes. In Galatians 5 verse 13 says this, serve one another humbly in love. And James 2 verse 17 says, faith by itself is dead. Got to put that stuff into work, man. Got to get out of here, have seats after this, and put that faith, that thing that God's put into your heart. Some of you are going to hear this morning, like, I'm going to ask you, do you want to come to Jesus? Faith is going to make you stand up out of your chair and come to the front. Faith. The church is basically the visible outpouring of God's love on earth. That's what it is. We show love to the people. That's what God is. So we're the visible representation of Jesus. Made in his likeness, represent him well, to love people well. Church is not buildings, it's not about religion, it's not about performance, it's not about pretending you're perfect. Church to us, imperfect people, gathering around a perfect Savior. The only thing perfect in you is Jesus. I've heard this say, like people saying, I found the perfect church. And I've got a friend, Mark Davies, who always puts a twist on everything. He says, yeah, if you found the perfect church, once you join, it won't be perfect anymore. Because the truth is, we are imperfect. There's no such thing as the perfect church. There's only the church trying to find Jesus as best they can. Those are the ones you want to look for. Those who base themselves on the Word of God. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am with them. Do you know the one church is built around? Do you know the person the church is built around? Have you met him? Because you can attend church and still not know Jesus. And this morning I want to invite you to meet Jesus. So why don't we all stand quickly? Why don't we close our eyes? And this is your moment. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And this morning, that same Spirit of God is in this place. That same person who wants to set you free from all the stuff that you've been suffering in, all the stuff that's broken down your life. Wherever you thought you had hope and it was destroyed, he wants to restore that hope.